from JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher. Good morning.
Morning. I'm not sure I can follow that.
Nah, you headbanging with me. I'm headbanging as we go. Spark. Good yeah. move from Spark. Simon Muta, he's a sharp operator. He's seen an opportunity and he's pounced.
Yeah, well, we're getting to the pointy end of the season for a lot of winter sports, aren't we, in this part of the world? So you've got your NRL finals, which you're very keen on. You've got the All Black season coming on. Got Silver Ferns squad being named today, international. So it's a very timely for Spark to make this announcement. So that they have Spark Sport has snaffled the football. Now, that's the English Premier League football, that is. And I promised all of the football fans at work and that I know that I wouldn't use the term soccer at all this morning.
Well done, quite right. Well, you haven't failed so far. So the big question is, what does it actually mean, of course, because it's presumably bad news for Sky.
Yeah, so there's further strengthening of the Spark Sport offering, really. I mean, this is exclusive rights to three seasons of the Premier League. So they've got from August 2019, 2022, they've got everything, Mike. They've got every match live, they've got on demand, they've got package highlights, they've got Manchester United TV as well. This is a wee reminder in the context, Mike. Remember, this is on top of the fact that they've got the World Cup 2019 as well, the rights to that. They've got the Women's World Cup. They've got other rugby as well. So we don't get it until 2019. Well, yeah, Mike, is it another nail in the coffin of Sky? They've brought in a new guy, Jeff Latch, as well as head of Spark Sport. He's out of TVNZ. I think, Mike, there's a lot resting on the quality of the platform here. Do you remember the debacle in Australia with Optus?
And with the
Football World Cup. So they've say they're going to bring in a specialist platform operator because you're only as good as that. I mean, Optus had to hand it back to SBS halfway through the tournament, didn't they? I think it's hotting up here, and I think the elephant in the room in this discussion is, of course, rugby. I mean, and what's happened? We know Amazon. There was a lot of media earlier on this year. Wasn't the around who gets the rugby rights, and I think that's the big catch, isn't it? No, it's the whale.
You've also got the confusion, Andrew, of the marketplace, in the sense that there are people like me who like a bit of sport, but technologically, and I said this at the time when they got the Rugby World Cup, technologically I'm not interested, I don't care. All I want to do is hit a button and see some sport on my screen, and that's what, for good or bad, Sky's been able to give me. And so suddenly you've got a whole lot of other platform operators and people in the marketplace, and I'm going to different venues, different outlets, paying different bills to different people to get individual things. And that, I think, is a big hurdle to get punters on board.
Absolutely, it's got to be easy. And I wrote a note here. This is smart TVs. Unless you've got a smart TV,
exactly.
This isn't a go, is it? Because you're hooking computers up and you've got cables, and you know, mate, most people just don't want to do that.
Exactly, and nor do we have the time. So it's a challenge for them, but I wish them well. Now, listen, Auckland's out of the top 10. Melbourne's no longer the most livable city in the world. This entire part of the world's clearly gone to hell in a handcart.
Well, not across the ditch, you know. So we've been talking about house prices, haven't we, Mike? In fact, we were talking about house prices sort of two weeks before everyone else was. But let's talk about something. This is the Economist Global Livability Index, and everybody loves a good ranking. Everybody loves a good ranking. And unfortunately, this is an Auckland story, so apologies to all the listeners outside of Auckland. Auckland has dropped out of the top 10 of the Economist Global Livability Index. What's going on, Mike? Is it traffic? Is it poor public transport? Is it infrastructure? Actually, it's none of that. Who's the number one, Mike? Who is the number one? Ultravox called this in 1980. <Dinner! laughs> Hey, beautiful. Jeez. Beautiful. Who did they kick out? Melbourne.
Yes.
Melbourne needs a song. That's Melbourne's problem. Melbourne needs a song. They've been top for 7 years, but actually Melbourne and Vienna are virtually inseparable, pretty much around again. What's interesting here, Mike, is that the top 10 in this livability index absolutely dominated by Australia and Canada. Six of the top 10 cities are in Australia and Canada. It's all about wealthy countries, really, with relatively low populations. I mean, Auckland didn't do anything wrong, actually. Auckland's score went up, but everyone else got a little bit better. Okay. It's ranked on stability, healthcare, culture, environment, education, infrastructure. Hopefully we can pick up our ranking next year.
Let us hope so. What are the numbers?
Dow Jones, 25,320. They're up 133 this morning. S&P 500, 28,40, up 18. NASDAQ, 7,869, up 50. The FTSE 100, 7,611, down 30. The Nikkei, 22,356. They were up 500 yesterday, 2.28%. Shanghai Composite, 2,780, down 5. The ASX 200, the ASX 200, 6,299, up 47. NZX 50, 8,971, up 27. And I've had a wee technical hitch this morning on the currencies, Mike, but hopefully we can resolve that in the next 5 seconds. Yep, Kiwi against the US, 0.6572. Kiwi against the Aussie, 0.9088. Kiwi Euro, 0.5797. Against the pound, 0.5169. Against the yen, we're looking at 73.19. And unfortunately, sorry, Mike, this morning I don't have gold or oil.
No, all I can do is hope it's down. Nice to see you, and we'll see you back for Thursday morning. Andrew Kelleher, JMI Wealth, he and the team at jmiwealth.co.nz.